This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Huge win for the Rockets last night at Toyota Center versus the Golden State Warriors in the first round of the playoffs, tying this thing up at one game apiece. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig with you. Jalen Green, 38 points, which was really the big thing, was just finding that offense after a game in which it felt like you couldn't knock down very much. You had 85 whole points. And in this one, 60 points in the first half. It was just entirely different. Mm-hmm. And, of course, sparked very much by Jalen Green finding a little bit more of himself, knocking down shots. But and you were in that place. You were asking, you know, I need 28. I need 30 from you. He was like, how about 38?
I'll take it.
How sustainable does that feel from him or to do it in this particular way, to have Jalen Green at the top of this putting up damn near 40 or something to that effect, as opposed to maybe a more balanced effort from this Rockets team?
Well, is Jimmy Butler going to play? He's going to lead to my answer.
You think it's a direct correlation in that way?
Oh, not necessarily specific to Jalen Green. But the Warriors are kind of lost without him on the floor, man. Now, they'll be better because they're going to have 2 days to prepare and maybe make some changes. But their personnel, isn't there.
Honestly, outside of Curry and Jimmy Butler, Where is that offense coming from?
Right. And like, defense.
Yeah. I mean, they got really good defense, But who else scoring outside of those two? Draymond ain't doing nothing.
But
he ain't doing
nothing
on offense.
But even on the defensive side, you know, they're going to have to change everything in terms of maybe, you know, obviously trying to switch everything, and then you've got mismatches, and then they can't stop Şengün on the inside. They certainly can't stop Jalen Green's drives. So if Jimmy Butler doesn't play, I feel as if that this is going to be maybe not 38, but much more sustainable. If Jimmy Butler does play, that gives their rotation that teeth again. You know, it's teeth again because he's good on both ends of the floor, and he's good in transition and longer, you know, on the perimeter, and they can maybe run some more of the defense that they want. But the short answer to your question, I think it's sustainable because, as I mentioned at the top of the show, I think he found something, and those jitters that he openly talked about, to his credit, like the lights were bright, you know, the court looked bigger and all that. Credit to him for, you know, acknowledging what we talked about after game one. But I think he's settling in. I think it's very much sustainable. Not 38, but if he can go mid-20s, you're onto something.
Yeah, and I think that's probably more of what I was looking at, is possibly getting that low to mid-20s from closer to what I think Figgy mentioned this yesterday. His average is 21 points on the season. And so, actually, this was Ime Udoka, the head coach of this team, after the game, being asked about, you know, that conversation that has happened quite a bit. The comments of critics saying that this team does not have a closer.
Well, we've done it every which way this year. Like I said, we can do it by committee, anybody's night on a given, you know, on a given game. And then you have nights like this with Jalen going for 38, and we've had Alpi and Jalen going for 30 each. So they make the right play, they draw the crowd, and where they both grown is getting everybody else involved. And the fact that they can break defenses down and create shots for themselves, the onus is on them to, you know, get guys involved. And, you know, we space it out with shooters, cutters, lob threats, and all those things, and it works well for us. So however we get it done, we figure it out all year different ways, and tonight it was Jalen's turn.
I did find it interesting that Steven Adams really wasn't a big factor.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even get a lot of minutes. And I'm wondering if that was by design or maybe at their own adjustment to what the Warriors were doing. Because I think what he said there about, you know, the cuts off the baseline to me were what stood out early, even with Butler on the floor. Like, coming off the baseline, from both ends, not just spotting up for a corner three and kicking, driving kick and all that stuff. So I think maybe he wants to see more of that because that helps Şengün facilitate. That's the second time I've done that. Facilitate the offense.
Yeah, I think that that's fair, and I think Jimmy Butler's absence does help. Jimmy had five steals in that first game, and I do think that his ability to kind of play almost like an off-ball, like a safety of sorts, and when that ball kind of skips over in some instances where you're trying to find backdoor cuts and things of that nature, made it tough in game one, and him not being there allowed them to do that a little bit more easily in this game, although they were doing it when he was on the floor as well. I think when coming back to that original question and what Ime said there, I think that he's right. Like, this is a team that kind of has to do it collectively, and they have nights where someone pops up and gives you these big kind of games. And I think that that's probably the thing that I would lean on more on the sustainability is, as a team, can you go as a group with everybody kind of factoring in, especially if you're knocking out some shots, especially if you're able to get some points in transition and things of that nature. And it's also, if you're not in those jittery spaces, if you're just locked in and playing the way that you're supposed to, especially knowing that your defense is going to hold the other team within reason, you should be able to get enough to give you an opportunity to win on pretty much most nights, especially against this Warriors team, even if they're healthy.
I'll oversimplify it, and I'll put it this way. If Şengün can be Robin and not Batman, you know, to paraphrase what Jimmy Butler said about he and Steph Curry, I think the Rockets have a much more likely chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, if you have someone much playing above what Alperin does, I think that, because I still think Alperin has been very, he's been focal to what you're doing, like being able to play through the middle of the floor.
But he was Robin yesterday.
To some degree, but I want to highlight him for one thing. Also, you mentioned Steven Adams not getting as many minutes. Steven Adams was the backbone of getting all these boards in game one. All them rebounds, that was Alperin. Alperin was getting boards in a way that's not, I guess, not unusual for him, but was big in a situation like this, especially when you did not have the double big to kind of, you know, just outsize the other team, in this instance, the Warriors. So, yeah, shout out to Alperin Şengün doing that. Also, I guess, shout out in some ways to Fred VanVleet. Can I do that? Because I asked this earlier, and it was a question that I sent a text to B. Scott as he was in the arena watching this game, and I was like, is he having a good game or a bad game or something else entirely? Because, I mean, you look at the box score and it's not a lot of, definitely not a lot of scoring. He did filter back on taking as many shots, but of course when you had hot hands going all around, especially when you talk about Jalen Green knocking down shots, I think Dylan Brooks added a few shots as well. Tari Eason knocked down a few. He only took 8 shots, but he was 2 of 8, 1 of 7 from 3. And it was like, and he played 42 minutes, by far the most of anybody in this team. I was like, did he have a good game in this? And I feel like he did have a good game to some degree. And I actually think that it was in part something that Ime Udoka was talking about with Fred, which is, can you give me a Udoka 13 here, actually? This is Ime Udoka talking about Fred VanVleet and his importance to this team.
Yeah, it's been, you know, a constant from day one with him. You know, not making shots right now, but playing 42 minutes, a lot of work for a guy like him to chase, you know, bang with Draymond Green. Like I said, sniff out those actions and switch on the guys. And then when a man goes out, he switches on to Curry and he's picking him up full court and getting through screens and all those things. And so there's a lot on him there, but, you know, that's what he's up for and kind of the leader on both ends, really, to calm us down offensively, but, you know, bring the edge and toughness and versatility defensively. And so, you know, may not look like it, you know, with the 7 points or whatever, but obviously we got him back in when they went to zone. He's great at figuring that out, but the job he's doing defensively, you got to commend him for it. He's guarding bigger guys, chasing guys around, and you know, using his smarts and toughness for sure.
Yeah, he was
the answer, right?
Yeah, he's the mental portion of it.
Yeah.
And defensively is the one that I guess I did not hone in on nearly as much as I should have during the course of this game. But the thing that Draymond Green does really well, and we'll get to you, Draymond. I will talk about it. We got things to talk about with you. But the thing that Draymond Green does do well is like sussing things out defensively that don't show, like I guess the average person would not see. And I'm including myself in that. I'm not trying to talk above anybody because he has made the adjustment. He is switching, you know, doing a pre-switch before the thing that you would normally see defensively as, oh, well, that was a great defensive possession. He's already playing the mental game of that. I think Fred is doing some of that in this, some of the unseen kind of calculations on the floor for this Rockets team, defensively and in some ways offensively as well.
And that's why he's been so important. We've known it all year. They've talked about it. He just said it again last night. You just heard it. That's why he's so important. He had a good game, but I still, and we all get greedy on this, you know, the shot making would just put it way over the top. The other one, And he another good game, maybe not, you know, early on because he got in foul trouble, but I'd like to see more from Amen Thompson as well. You know, whether it's finishing, certainly on defense he does the job, but he got into a little bit of foul trouble. I think Amen Thompson's another one that maybe you'd like to see just get greedy a little bit with him.
You mentioned the foul trouble. I was a little worried about that in that moment. Of course, Jimmy Butler getting hurt kind of really hampered any opportunity that the Warriors were really going to have. It overwhelmed Steph Curry with the responsibility of what they have to do. Assuming that Jimmy Butler does make it back, maybe even for Game 3, right? Let's just do that without having any speculations further on in the series or what have you. Do you have any concern about the foul trouble? Because, I mean, the referees were somewhat letting them play, but then all of a sudden you look up, you got like three guys in foul trouble at points early on in the second half, and that feels like that could be problematic if that continues, especially if they have an opportunity to try and hit you, Golden State.
Though. I'm wondering, and this is huge, man. This is a huge factor moving forward. I'm wondering what the NBA director of officiating is going to say to his guys. Because they're letting a lot of stuff go both ways.
Which I think inherently, in theory, it benefits the Rockets with the physicality that they're trying to put on Steph and the physicality they're trying to put on these other teams. But also, it doesn't help if you're getting – because it's also sometimes it's just the stupidest fouls that are being charged to Amen Thompson and charged to various other guys on this Rockets team.
No, they're letting – even Stan Van Gundy, who would you know like for his players to just beat up everyone, you know, and he shared the story – you know, about some of the coaches that like Thibodeau texting him, calling, boy, this is physical. When Thibodeau says something's physical, it's beyond physical. So I'm wondering if there's going to be any, not directive, but sort of a, you know, conversation about calling this closer. You do not want that to happen.
I don't think so.
You don't want that to happen because that would hurt the Rockets. It'd be more foul trouble, et cetera.
Now, the conversation that I do think they should have is, at what point are y'all done letting Draymond Green act like
exactly.
this?
Exactly. I mean, that guy's... That guy's a menace.
Like, at what point is too much? I mean, he out yelling at refs. He's out here, you know, forearm shivering folks at various points. I'm like, at what point does this become too much? And also, Steve Kerr, please step to the podium because have some shame, dog.
Yeah.
Please have some shame. Obviously, in the arena, you get a F you Draymond chant going. And I understand where it comes from because Draymond is out here just acting petulant. The word that I continually use is antics. And that's what it feels like because – at times, it's not even just the idea of him, you know, playing hard and playing physical. He is actively doing things that undercut players. He's like doing things that are not basketball. And he even factors into like Jimmy Butler getting hurt, right? Him and in some way, Steven Adams in there, boxing in there. But like that's not the first time that he has had Amen Thompson has like fallen into somebody because of physicality or what have you. But he falls into and kind of undercuts Jimmy Butler when he falls on his tailbone, but it's just him playing, wild, reckless, and he has a history of this, and yet and still it feels like it takes triple the amount of shenanigans and antics for him to come up on a technical foul than anybody else. Like, at what point does this stop?
I think he's gonna blow a gasket. And you were saying earlier he kind of has, no, he's leaking right now. I mean, it's leaking right now. But I think he's going to take it upon, because he does it. We predicted it. We talked about it before the series. He's going to do something that is going to hurt his own squad, and that's the good news for the Rockets, because I think he's probably going to get thrown out of a game.
See, the thing is, I feel like Draymond, he's one of those players where the game is over, and you know it's over, that's when he start acting reckless.
He did last night.
Yeah.
He does stuff to sort of...
I feel like he tried to get himself thrown out the game, and they didn't throw him out the game. He do stuff like that when the game is over.
And I think that's the good news because unless somebody gets hurt, he's going to do something to completely derail what the Warriors are trying to do. But I am curious how this next game is going to be called. You mentioned it, and it's true. It's been true for 40 years. The NBA playoffs are just officiated different. A lot more is let go. But this is what the NBA, like, deliberately and tangibly tried to get away from. Everybody's calling it like a 1990s type series. They did everything they could to get away from that. And now it's back in the conversation. I'm curious how they're going to call it.
Yeah. Adrian on the Twitch, Warriors fans have been delusional on the blame for the injury. Warriors fans are delusional about a lot of things, to be completely honest. But, yes, they absolutely have been delusional about the injury because, I mean, it's actually showing up on ESPN right now. And ain't no way you see that and in any way go, yeah, clearly Amen Thompson was trying to take out Jimmy Butler's legs. Are you insane?
Steven Adams was in there too, though.
Oh, yeah, he was. Steven, if we're going to be completely honest.
If we're being honest, Steven Adams and Draymond bumped into Jalen Green there.
That's right. I did mention Steve Kerr, and I do want to adequately complain about what he was doing here. This is Steve Kerr after the game, getting he's a little hurt about the F.U. Draymond trans.
It's not ideal when a crowd is, you know, chanting F.U. Draymond. It's just, I don't know. I mean, they did it in Boston a few years ago in the finals. It is what it is. Draymond's been around forever. He's an instigator. He's always going to be in the mix. And because of his career, his championships, his fire, he's going to be a lightning rod, and that's all part of it. I would prefer, if fans could use a little more discretion and, remember that, the guy has kids and, it's like there's kids. I don't know. I just, maybe I'm old school, but I'm all for the fans cheering for their team. And if they want to yell at the opponents, great. But I don't know. I just think FU is, it's a little much.
You tell Draymond to remember he has
basketball like you know you got kids.
Right? How about you operate like right. somebody who is a respectable moral example for them kids?
Stop kicking people in the junk. You know your kids is
I was like the audacity of Steve Kerr to get out here pointing his finger at some fans talking about he got kids.
Everybody's got kids.
And he trying to take out people's kids with his little Liu Kang kick.
Yeah. I was like, I listened to that and I was disgusted. Yeah. I was like, Steve Kerr, have some gosh darn shame, man. It truly shameless.
Let's think about the man.
What?
Like, he has a family, guys.
Yeah. Think about the children. Are you kidding me? Are you for real right now?
Oh, Lord.
That's unbelievable.
That is pathetic.
It really was. Like, pathetic is really the word, especially when the way that he's out here yelling in people's faces and flailing and hitting people in the head. Like, honestly, I was amazed that he got that. I will say, I do think that was a properly officiated flagrant foul, like the ways in which that forearm went to Draymond's head. But yeah. I was like, hey, man, I don't even think he got your money worth if we're going to be completely honest, the way that he was acting. But even still, I think that it's been good, the physicality that the Rockets have employed. I think it's good the place that they're at, because I saw someone on the text line earlier were like, I want to see Dylan Brooks turn up the villain. I was like, no, he is good right where he is. Mm-hmm. I think that because
he tried to a little bit.
And it's perfect, man, because I felt like he's not like throwing the team, like he's not getting the team in the way, like he's not putting himself in the way of the team, that type of thing.
Yeah, and so he's staying on point. He's being beneficial in the game. And let Draymond Green do his.
You know what Philadelphia fans would do?
They'd throw batteries.
They'd start the bleep you Kerr.
Yeah. 832, tell Steve Kerr we got a chant for him too.
There you all go. Right, that's I'll what see I'm you. All right, there we go.
Yeah, so I mean, we're gonna get a game five back here at Toyota Center, so maybe he just earned himself a chant as well, Steve Kerr. All right, but shout out to the Rockets getting a victory. They'll be back in action on Saturday, ABC 7:30 is where you'll get a chance to see the Rockets try and take a lead in this series in San Francisco. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's do our lunchtime confessions as we always do next.
All right, you heard Big Voice Guy right there. Keeping it real, right, Figgy?
Yeah.
Keeping it real.
I like you asked Figgy. Figgy was like, I don't know. Let me hear what you're saying first.
Well, I asked Figgy because it's about you.
Ah, okay.
My confession is, Reggie did something the other day, and I meant to bring it up yesterday, that was a lot even for him. Like, a lot.
What did I do now?
There's going to be a butt coming up here.
Hey.
A lot of the stuff that Reggie is kind of endearing, and it's kind of cool. Like, he calls himself, we've called him the professor. He calls himself a nerd and a stat geek and all that stuff. He has that reputation. This was a lot even for him. It's his birthday 2 days ago, right?
That is correct.
I said, hey, what's going on? What'd you do? Get your margaritas? No, I didn't get my margaritas. So what'd you do? Oh, it was cool. Answering, you had a good day, right? Answering.
It was cool.
Nice messages.
It wasn't like my best birthday ever, but I enjoyed it. I didn't do too much.
But in the midst of it, he says, yeah, I did this, answered some messages, caught up on some anime, did this. And I went, caught up on some anime?
Yeah.
caught up on some anime?
Yeah.
I didn't know you was into anime.
Not really that much, but there was an anime that it really just is like, hey, this is a show that I thought was interesting that I haven't been able to watch because, you know, other stuff is happening.
You got it. That's a lot even for you.
You can't say not really.
Though, yes,
man.
You're either,
you're either in or you out.
Yes.
I guess if you would put it that way, I guess in, but I really don't watch that many. Like, I probably have 3 or 4 anime shows that I have watched.
That's enough, man.
I'm fond of Cowboy Bebop and Samurai Champloo, made by the same guy. And that's why I like this new one, is because it's made by the guy that did that.
Cowboy Bebop?
Cowboy Bebop. There's a lot of jazz involved in it, which is one of the endearing things.
Yeah, you got to go all in on that, man. You can't just say,
I can't, though. There's so much anime out there. And shout out to the people that watch it with, like, the Attack on Titan and all that, bro. Like, I just don't have the time or the inclination to do all of that, to be real. You know?
All right. Cowboy Bebop. I'm looking at a very reputable site called Wikipedia.
Correct.
A neo-noir space western television series that aired in TV Tokyo Wow Wow from 1998 to 1999.
It's a classic. You're not going to make me feel bad about this, because anybody that has heard of Cowboy Bebop, no. Thank you. 832. Oh, so no, they're talking about Invincible, and I did watch Invincible, if you consider that an anime. That's fair.
I've never even heard of any anime shows.
No, that's a whole different world, okay, man. I would not trash anybody for watching anime at all.
Yeah, and
I'm not into it. The most I've been into it as a kid was like Pokemon, and I don't know if people would consider that like a deep cut when it comes to anime.
And the other thing is, and again, a lot of the stuff you do, it's endearing, it's helpful to the show, you know some of the stats and stuff.
Oh, okay.
In doses, if we're being honest. But on your birthday, you made the conscious decision, I'm going to catch up on some anime.
Well, once I decided I wasn't going out, before these games started, I was like, let me watch a couple of TV episodes real quick. And I was like, what's the TV episode? It's this show called Lazarus from this dude that made some shows that
this
I really enjoyed.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I never heard anybody say, I got to catch up on some anime. Nah, man, just own it, man. Just say I was watching some anime. That's my deal.
It was an anime, but I was literally just catching up on a TV show that I found was interesting. That's it. That's it. Somebody said Cowboy Bebop is 100% positive on Rotten Tomatoes. That is correct.
Lopez lying if he's never heard of Dragon Ball. Of course I've heard of Dragon Ball.
Yeah, but you ain't watched it.
I ain't clicked on squat.
Okay.
I couldn't watch it because I didn't have cable when I was a kid.
Yes.
And that would always come on like a cable channel.
The thing about anime, it's a different language. It's like a different language.
Now, do you watch yours dubbed or do you roll with like the subtitles?
I can't remember. I think Cowboy Bebop was, I think that was, well, I mean, I definitely have watched the dubbed version because, mm-hmm, I mean, in America, there's, that's still legendary. Like the you know, English language version. I don't know if that one had, it feels like I should say that there absolutely was a Japanese version, but the English language version.
Okay, that's how you can tell somebody that's really into the art and into the sticks.
Watch the sub.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't watch it dub because sometimes they be sounding a little too silly, man. You got to watch the original.
Okay,
yeah.
So if this gives you any level of indication from the 830, Cowboy Bebop is the Citizen Kane of anime. From the 281, Cowboy Bebop is iconic. So I really just, cool, I really just dip in on like the creme de la creme is basically the idea, mm-hmm, of what's happening here. I can't lie, and really I say this for the benefit of the people that really rock with anime, because I'm sure there's somebody like, oh, Reg, did you watch this? And I'm
100%.
I really didn't. Yeah, like, yeah, I have dipped my toe in a few things that I find to be interesting. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, Lopez will talk bad about anime, but probably watch MASH in the 50s. I actually am very fond of MASH, so don't come for MASH. MASH is an incredible show.
That's one
70s,
of the
thank you very much. 70s.
MASH is an incredible show.
I hate MASH.
No, it's
the worst theme song of all time.
That is an elite theme song. Nah. What?
What?
No. Suicide is Painless is an incredible
When MASH song. Come on, it's time to go to bed. It's over, man. Time to turn the TV off.
Yeah. Now that's a confession.
It's time to turn the TV off, man. I never knew any black person outside of Reggie now that watched MASH, who stayed up for MASH.
But the other thing is, comparing anime to MASH? How does that correlate?
I'm just talking about great shows.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't know. But yeah, see, people are now giving me all these. I'm not going to give you all that. I just watched Lazarus because it was the same dude that made Cowboy Bebop and Samurai Champloo. Anyways. I don't like
God
you.
Bless you, people.
You watch reality TV and stuff. You're not coming for
that,
me.
Yeah, that's,
you're not coming
I'd
for
rather
me.
Watch. I'd rather watch anime. You're not coming for reality TV.
You're not coming for me. I'm not doing this. If I'm going to be completely honest, I had another confession, but right now I'm still mad about Steve Kerr.
Okay.
I really am. Like, that is, if I'm just going to be honest, especially because, hey, man, we gonna act like you that this man has not been doing this for years, for a decade under your tutelage, under your watch as the head coach? Like, that's the thing. It's the lack of awareness for Steve, from Steve Kerr, to get out here and try and wag your finger at Rockets fans for saying F you Draymond. Like, we ain't seen him do this. You've seen him do this for all this time. How are you surprised by people's reaction to this?
He's acting like he's being treated unfairly. Like, after all these years, like, dog, do you see what he's doing? Like, people just don't chant F you to anybody. Like, dog, they're looking at what Draymond
is doing
tonight.
Especially in this town.
Yeah.
That's out of character for
Houston. Yeah, and that game last night. They was looking at what he was doing last night.
Yeah.
So, nah, he deserved those chants.
Yes, he did.
Like, nah, he shouldn't nobody feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
Especially if the refs aren't going to, like, punish him for it, which he hasn't. Like, he has gotten enough of a leeway to not get punished for none of this stuff. And so, basically, people are like, all right, if you're not going to give us justice, we'll give us as close to vigilante justice as we'll get, which is saying F you. I don't think that's too much. And if you really want to care about the children, tell that man to stop. How about that?
Yeah.
Tell him to act like a responsible human being.
He was playing so wild. If he would have got hurt and carried off, people probably would have cheered.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
That's how wild he was playing, man. Yeah, yeah. And people don't do that with everybody.
And especially here.
Yeah. So I'm 36 years old, and the older I get, the more I kind of don't care about the stuff I used to care about back in the day, like clothes and this got to be name brand and all of that stuff. I'm at that age where I'm like, I don't care, long as it look nice and it's comfortable.
Yeah.
Yes. But I still got that youth in me. This is my confession. So when I went to Academy to kind of look at some of the Jordan stuff, they had a pair of Jordans right there on display.
Yeah. Oh, like shoes?
Yeah, they had some shoes, like some sneakers.
Yeah.
I got to confess, man, I can't wear no other Jordan sneaker unless it's like retro or the original Jordan sneaker, man. Mm-hmm. To me, they have the feel of like the, I think y'all down here call them West Side J's, or not West Side J's, but Mexican Jordans, where they not the real, they Jordans technically, but they're not the ones that everybody like to rock.
The retros, the ones that Jordan wore.
Yeah.
Look like you buy them at a convenience store.
Hey, yo, I don't like what we're doing here.
I don't want to go that far.
As a staff record label.
Like those hats, those Houston hats.
I wouldn't go that. See, those are fake. So I wouldn't go that far. But I'm talking about the Jordans. People call them Team Jordans and stuff like that, man. I seen something. And they was a pair of Luka Jordans, too.
Oh, okay, really? Yeah, because Luka's a Jordan brand athlete.
Yeah, so right. I was still looking. I'm like, nah, I can't do it, man. I got to have the retro Jordans, man. I'm still prideful in the type of sneakers I wear as far as Jordans, man. I can't do nothing else. I could do the slides. I could do anything else. I just can't. If it's not retro Jordans or the classic Jordans that Michael Jordan actually wore on the court, I can't do it, man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't do it.
Agreed.
I hear you. So I texted you guys last night. That's a wrap. You know, when the Rockets were up, I want to say, I don't know what the score was, but they were up 16 there in the fourth quarter.
That sounds about right. Let me see if I can triangulate.
I think it was
all.
16. I said, that's a wrap, ball game, whatever I said. And I was about to turn the TV off and just go to bed, because I knew the gist of it all. And it was after 11, and I want to go to bed early because I get up early and all that. I did something really, really silly that paid off. I said, I probably should watch it. What's going to keep me up to watch this game? Live point spread, baby.
All right.
Live point spread. Thank you, Tari Eason, for that alley-oop that gave you 109
If you have
points.
A gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the secret sauce. Like, when you're like, I probably should watch the rest of it in case something happens, but I want to go to bed. 14.5 points, baby. I was in on 14.5 points.
Oh, no.
They won by 15.
Oh, okay. You had mentioned Tari, so I thought you were saying you were in on 14.5 for Tari, who finished at 14 points.
No.
Okay, good.
On the spread, and And I was like, all right, now I can go to bed. Now I can go to bed. They won by 15.
You probably should have went to bed and just woke up to a surprise.
I thought about that, too.
Woke up like,
but I would have, I wake up in the middle of the night, I'd have been Cha-ching. Like, yeah, I wonder if they covered.
So you were this close to making what was a really important and good win into like a sad and sour taste for yourself by betting?
Yes.
See, and that's why I don't bet, because my brain immediately goes to that as well. I was like, this is a good thing. We already won. Why did I need to make it worse for myself?
Yeah. But I lost my money.
You want to stay up and watch? Do a live point spread late in the game.
Some of us are just built different and we want to watch the game to see the game. Some of us are just built different. I don't know. I appreciate all the folks coming to my defense for these slanderous things that have said to me.
Listening to us. God bless you all.
Wow. That's crazy. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Those are confessions brought to you by the Men's Clinic. Some coming up next, it is still a Thursday, even though we're getting ready for the NFL draft. So let's do a little buy or sell, as we often do. Are you buying what these various folks in sports are selling? We'll do that next. In case anyone cares, my other confession was that I'm pretty sure that I annoyed B. Scott.
What? He's hard to annoy.
Just like I text y'all during the games, and y'all know how that works.
Mm-hmm.
I was texting him during the game. I don't think he was annoyed, but I do know that he was actually out there working. He's at the arena watching the game, and then I didn't text him after the game. I know better than that. He's out there getting great audio, asking great questions of all the principal actors. But I was texting him during the game, and I was like, "This is probably annoying. Probably shouldn't be texting him."
You told us that too.
I think
it's kind of cute, to be honest.
All right, let's move along.
I wasn't about to say that, but B. Scott, that's somebody, he don't mind at all, man, because sometimes I feel like I be irritating him, and he be like, nah, man, bro, you good, man. You good, man.
Always appreciate our guy, B. Scott from Hiram Clark. Remember, he's out there at these games covering them, because you know Sports Radio 610 got to have a presence all over this. All right, let's get into some buy or sell on a Thursday. Are you buying what these various folks in sports are trying to sell you? 713-572-4610 if you would like to play along. Lopez, buy or sell?
I got you, man. Let's start with the Houston Astros, who said Lance McCullers Jr. missed a rehab start because of the stomach flu. Remember, it's the Astros that said it. Also remember that he is now scheduled, I guess, a double-A game in Corpus Christi Saturday, tentatively. Stomach flu?
The stomach flu portion of this, I was willing to buy wholeheartedly. I don't know why. You just saying tentatively is what gave me the hang up. Because the one thing I would absolutely hate to do, and I have, we've all been there to some degree, is having to work with the bubble guts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, some things don't work. In fact, I felt a little bad of anybody on that court yesterday that had a Golden State Warriors jersey on for Pajemski.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had that stomach.
He looked miserable.
He looked like when you try and run up and down with the bubble guts. I was like, man, he's probably having a terrible time right now.
He actually looked like he had a fever. Like, his eyes were kind of glazed and, you know.
Yeah, because he had some level of illness that he was dealing with. But I believe that, man, I don't want to be out there pitching and trying to torque my body and everything if I got the bubble guts. So I was willing to buy it, especially because, like, they let us know when Luis Garcia had a setback or what have you. Although I think in this homestand, he was out there throwing in the outfield as well. So, you know, cross your fingers on that point. The only thing that gives me a little pause is that tentatively. But I'm going to go ahead and buy it because I've operated with the level of optimism and I have not been burned by it just yet with Lance McCullers Jr.
Yeah, I'm going to buy it too for the simple fact that they can't be that stupid to say a stomach flu or something like that. And knowing this is something else that's related to his injury.
Yeah.
Like, I will be so disappointed if they use that as the excuse. I'd rather them say, just giving this arm some rest or something like that.
See, that's the brilliance of it. If they said, like, forearm strain, then we'd all be like, oh, God, or, you know, whatever. I'm buying it too, though.
Yeah,
and I've been burned. We've all been burned so many times.
I wouldn't be surprised if that wasn't true.
Yeah, no, I am going to buy it. I think he is going to pitch Saturday in Corpus Christi. But when I saw that, I went, oh, Lord, this has got buy or sell written all over it. All right, next one, buy or sell. Nico Harrison, we're familiar with his work, right? From the Dallas Mavericks, general manager.
I am familiar with his work.
He said he didn't know how much Luka meant to the Mavericks fans.
This is such a sell. This is the wildest sell, because the whole organization built their identity around Luka Doncic. Like, if you like the Mavericks, you like Luka Doncic, is the way they built their identity.
Mm-hmm.
You knew that. They literally had pillars at the airport with his face on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of your marketing department is around that dude. You knew damn well. Now, the one thing I will say in any level of defense of him, which he did, probably not necessary because they've literally fumbled every other thing after the trade, in addition to the trade itself, is it's starting to very much look like that ownership group is very, very bad at this, and they might have been forcing him to get out here and do some of this to some degree.
Sure.
So I do wonder how much you could put on the ownership group for making them look bad. But no, you knew exactly how important he was. You just did not think that you – or you thought you'd get away with it, which how dumb could you be?
Can you repeat the question again?
Nico,
you said
Harrison,
how important for the fans?
Yes, to the fans.
I'm actually buying this.
Because he didn't know how important Luka was to the fans?
I really don't think he knew, because he wouldn't have traded him, because that was the stupidest thing he could have possibly did. Mm-hmm. Like, you really didn't know if you felt like trading him – would just be like, oh, traded him, he's gone.
Yeah.
No big deal.
We'll just move along.
I think he really did not know if he would get this much blowback from the fans like this. All of the boycotting and the picket signs and all the stuff that was going on in the arena.
Yeah.
Like, I think he really had no idea how much that would have affected the fans.
I get your point, but I'm selling. I don't see how anybody who lives in that city for more than a week doesn't know. I mean, you know, like that Luka was the identity. All right, you buying or selling this? Deion Sanders.
Uh-oh.
He said never in his life has he himself pleasured himself.
I think that I am willing to
buy
this.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I think I am willing to buy this. I think that he's had the juice. And I say that with all humility and all humility is not the right word, but all understanding that I am very uncomfortable with having to talk about that man's particular, life in that way. Mm-hmm. But I do think that he has had the juice. I just don't know why I don't know why it was such a big deal to him to just let people think that whatever that you have or whatever.
I would buy it if he was born a 21-year-old.
Thank you.
But dog, if you was a kid at some point, nah, I'm not buying that at all.
Never.
He's just too cool for school.
Yes.
He was on that set with a bunch of ladies and he just tried to be Deion. That's what it was.
He's lying. That's why I'm selling. He's lying. All right, let's get to the Houston Texans. C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He said he wants John Metchie to come off of number 8.
I am going to stand on my stance that I've had. I think that I'm going to sell this. I think that he was playing a little bit. I am wavering on this because I did start on he's worn different numbers in his career. And I don't know that he's absolutely going to come up. I want to spend this on John Metchie in order to change this number. However, yeah, I think I'm going to stick there. I'm going to stick that.
So he doesn't want.
I think he's just going to take another number. I think that he was just getting up there being that big personality that he is and kind of joking with John Metchie.
I'm kind of buying it, man. I think he's looking at Metchie as food. He's like, man, this. Like, what did this guy do last year? He ain't going to be on the team. Hey, come up off of that number, man.
And he might not. That's a key element. He might not be on the team.
So because I think if Metchie was a key part of this offense, that he was actually really, really good, it wouldn't have been a conversation. Maybe he could have said it jokingly or something like that. But no, it wouldn't have been a conversation. He's looking at Metchie as food. He want that number 8, man.
Yeah, I'm buying it too. And really at the tail end of his comment, if you didn't hear it, you can go back on the Odyssey app and hear all our conversations on this from yesterday and today, et cetera. But when he said, I love you, but when he said, I love you, but I'm like, no, he's being honest. He's like really, really wants number 8. All right, you buying or selling this? And it just popped up on our TV. Jerry Jones said, who's in the Buy or Sell Hall of Fame, by the way.
Yeah, because he just be talking. He say any old thing. It do not matter. Yeah.
Jerry Jones said the Cowboys are working on, quote, a couple of substantive deals on draft night.
Substantive is where I'll sell. Like, I just don't. I don't trust that organization to do things that are smart just generally.
Yeah.
So I would sell that. I wonder what that could be if actually, you know what? I will buy that because I have seen things that have pointed to the idea that if it's not Ted Tyrell and McMillan for them at 12, that they might be interested in kind of getting off of that pick and doing some other stuff, and maybe they have done some deals or done some kind of conversations to figure out mm-hmm. if they move. The thing I do wonder also, the people who are actually doing the work to make that deal, because we know Jerry Jones don't actually do like the grunt work GM stuff. I wonder if they wanted him to tell people that though.
Hey Jerry, go have a press conference.
Go let people know that we're trying to trade.
Yeah,
tell them.
I guess I'm a buy it.
But they're working on a couple of substantive deals.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's with that. Now, are we talking about that pick right there, or just in general?
He said in the draft. So I don't know if that's you got to immediately kind of default to the first round, right?
Yeah, that's what I would default to. But that's a fair question.
You know what? I'm gonna sell it. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna sell it because they've been so vanilla the last couple years. I just don't see them making some big strong moves like this unless it's like. I think did they do it before? If they do like a little quick little move back, mm-hmm. like jump back like two spots or something like that.
Yeah.
I can maybe see that.
They did that relatively recently. Yeah, Michael Parsons was a move.
Yeah,
back.
I think yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like I could see something like that, but like nah, I think they've been very vanilla the last few years, so I don't see them doing nothing crazy. Yeah.
I'm selling it too, and really based off of what you just heard Reggie say, Jerry talks a lot. He talks a lot. He's just talking. He's just keeping the brand out there. All right, you buying or selling? Simone Biles said she's considering coming back and competing in the 2028 Olympics when she'll be 31 years old.
I'm buying it because I do not doubt Simone Biles, point blank, period. She has proven to me that she is incredible, and I have a belief that if she says that she can get this together at 31 and go compete at an Olympic level, I believe it.
I'm buying that she is considering. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's going to compete, but I think right now, I think she is considering with it being in L.A., I mm-hmm. want to say. Mm-hmm. So I do think, you know, it being in L.A. is making it a little easier for her to kind of consider. Mm-hmm. I think if it was in another country, I don't know if she would.
Yeah, it's in L.A. I can't believe we're all buying this because it sounds outrageous. 31-year-old gymnast whose legs and knees and hips and ankles have been put through the mill. I'm buying it too, and I think a big part of it is not just her competitive nature, and she's awesome, but that's a lot of money, man. I mean, there are athletes that want to sign that one more contract. She's one of the highest paid Olympians in history.
Yeah, but you know? I think
it's all factors,
right? But I think with Olympians, it's maybe a little bit different. I understand with players, like you kind of need to stay in that forefront. Mm-hmm. I think her name is cemented. I don't think that changes with another Olympics. I think if you're going up to the Olympics, people know the Olympian Simone Biles, and they will for a long time.
Those endorsements, I mean, we've seen it. Those endorsements become enormous the year or two before and after the game.
Sure, but I think I think even if she's not competing, her name has gotten so big. Like I mean, like a Usain Bolt, even if he's not running, I think Coca-Cola or whatever, just to throw out just a random name.
Yeah.
If they're like, hey, we want to do something headed into the Olympics. Yeah, we can get somebody who's competing, or we can get just a big old name. And Usain Bolt, and I think Simone Biles is just like that, where she's going to get her advertising money.
I just feel like they're bigger. But either way. All right, one more for you guys here. Tony Busby. He said.
Uh-oh. Yeah, there's a lot more developments on this story.
Yeah. What story? I just said Tony Busby.
Yeah, that's true. He has his hands in a lot of those. Yeah. Doesn't he?
Tony Busby said Shannon Sharpe offered $10 million to settle the case that is making all the news right now.
I have no idea on that front, bro.
Yeah.
I really don't know what to do with that one when it comes to buy or sell, because I guess I could see it. I will sell it in this instance on the idea that Shannon Sharpe and his people came out on the offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, Tony Busby and the woman that is the alleged victim of this sexual assault.
Yeah.
They came out with the suit, and it was a Jane Doe, and Shannon Sharpe was like, nope. Here is her name, and here are text messages that I received from her, and I don't know that you come that strong if you were like, hey, so you want to handle this outside of court first?
Right.
No? All right, well, then I'm going to go crazy. Like, I'm not sure if that, and I'm not saying that you can't, because I don't know how these particular circumstances mm-hmm. always work, but yeah, I have a hard time believing that you go from one of those to the other.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually selling this, man. Yeah. I ain't going to sell it. I think I'm selling this because $10 million is a lot of money, man. Mm-hmm. Just to say, I don't think anybody is coming out of nowhere unless you at some type of high status just saying, you know what, let's just settle for $10 million.
Right.
I don't know the situation. I ain't taking the side, but I just don't see Shannon Sharp saying, hey, take this $10 million and let's just let this all go away and don't do anything. I just don't see that. I think he just kind of threw that lie in there to make Shannon look bad, like he is guilty.
I'm selling it too, and not just from the Shannon Sharp perspective. What 19 at the time, now maybe what, 2021, 22, whatever it is, who would say no to $10 million?
She would have took it. I'm not just saying she.
Anyone.
I feel like anybody, $1 million.
You're 21 years old.
People be like, okay, $2 million. $2
million. 21 years old. Here's $10 million and it just goes away. Where do I sign?
I don't know.
Where do I sign?
The 346 here is saying Shannon Sharp's attorney said the same thing. It's possible maybe they're putting this as the, as mm-hmm. you know, kind of the idea of like extortion or what have mm-hmm. you. I guess I could see it in the space of if you're just like, you have a media empire, which he does at mm-hmm. this point, like he is budding in a way that is notable. Yeah. If you're like, hey, what is $10 million to make sure that we don't have to litigate this in the court of public opinion? Because even if you win a court case, mm-hmm. we all know the court of public opinion is a different space that does not hold the same standard. And maybe he was just in a place where he's like, it is worth my peace and not having to have my name in this muck. But here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are in this muck with all of it. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it rolls out. And it's already been kind of nasty with the various text messages that have mm-hmm. Floated out there through TMZ. And otherwise, so yeah, wild continuing to see circumstances like that play out. But there you go, a little buy or sell here on a Thursday in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Actually, it's not just any Thursday. NFL Draft gets going tonight. You'll hear Texans Radio at 6 and then Pick Start at 7 right here on Sports Radio 610. Looks like Brandon on the YouTube page says he still has a feeling that the Texans trade up for Banks. So go ahead, 713-572-4610. What do you think is going to happen? Wait, what do you want to happen, and what are you going to think is going to happen for the Texans tonight as they go through the first round of the NFL draft? We will do that next.